You're listening to Earful of Queer on CFRU 93.3 in Guelph. This is a recording of a conversation that Shabina and Carly had with Alicia Lim while they were on a bus to Montreal. This is the first part of a two-part interview. In this first part of the interview, Alicia reads Butch number 34 from their upcoming comic book, 100 Butches, and we discuss Butch identity. We also talk about the Feminist Art Gallery, where their work, The Illustrated Gentleman, is the first to be exhibited, and is up until the end of May.
I kind of wanted to start out by talking about who the 100 Butches are, and like talking a bit about that project.
Sure, yeah. So it's a book about 100 butches I've ever met. and they're all, yeah, people that I've met or sometimes even just seen once. And I was wondering, maybe, like, it's easier to explain if I, like, read one?
Yeah.
I think? Or part of one? How much time do you have? Should I just read part of one? Or?
You can read a whole one, sure.
Yeah, I think that'd be amazing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. yeah. That would be fun. Okay, let me see. Which one will I read? I have one that's sad and one that's just, like, voyeuristic. I'll read the sad one. Okay. So this is 100 Butches number 34. And there's a picture, as usual, of a hot babe.
Okay. Sweet.
Good audience. Okay, so you are breaking my heart. I'm talking in my head to the girl in the bus seat across from me. That's kind of funny right now. She probably looks a little bit like I do, in a half Chinese hipster kind of way, with a half-blonde haircut and a blazer that screams, "I am so gay!" As soon as she fell into that seat, I thought, hey, you're a bit like me, but younger and fancier. She's obsessively taking photos of her straight friends because it's that late stage of the night where someone like her or I would be cheerfully, clumsily drunk and compulsively admiring the girl that we're with. She was clicking photo after photo of her friend's sexy, revealing dress, her glossy tumbling hair, her drunken explosions of laughter, and her indifferent heterosexuality, which is hardly noticeable to the untrained eye, but to any queer like you or I, it's so obvious that this one is just being obstinately straight. And if that wasn't bad enough, the straight girl has started to randomly, successfully flirt with a strange boy beside her. And now my doppelganger is taking slower and more disheartened photographs and saying, "Oh, let's leave this guy alone, and why don't you come sit here next to me?" But the girl isn't even paying attention to you anymore, because the boy is blushing and letting her snuggle with him, even though anyone can plainly see that you are the cutest plum pie of the baby butch in love ever, with the fastest growing look of grief across your face ever. And trust me, baby, I see it all.
That's so sad.
Oh. Amazing. That's so good. Oh. Oh, silence is amazing. That's so touching, guys. Thanks for the silence.
Okay. Get it together, Shabina.
I'm just guessing you guys are like sitting there aghast or something. It's so quiet.
We're just making sad faces at each other. Okay, now I am Shabina.
Okay.
And I'm wondering how these 100 butches push the boundaries of what butch identity is, really.
Yeah, well, in fact, lots of people sort of, it's kind of funny, but lots of people protest the word butch, but at the same time they're like, "I really want to be in the book." So so that's super flattering too. And yeah, and I guess kind of like the, would you say it's kind of sometimes unusual to have a bit of a, like, somehow a little bit of a power when you're queer, and like to have the chance to be on this kind of public platform. I think it's kind of unusual. I mean, you guys do it. But, so it's like a kind of opportunity that I just want so badly to, like, give to people. And I just really want to make a really accurate documentary, sort of my queer scene. So so people will be like, yeah, I want to be in the book. I want to be number 42. But I hate the word butch. So the awesome thing is that they sit there and they really, like, you know, invest a lot of time and effort into explaining to me why they're totally against the word butch, but they would still be in a book like this. So it's kind of cool. So, like, for example, one of my heroes is Eli Clare, and he's a disability activist and wrote an amazing book called Pride in Exile. Woo, Eli Clare.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's butch number 48. And he talks about how he is not a butch at all and how he feels like he would be appropriating because he's now a trans man and he was a butch long ago. And there's a lot of people who still carry the mantle of butch. They can't claim it anymore. But he, like, you know, pays a lot of respect to that. And, yeah, so, for example, that's what he says. Or else there's, like, the race angle and there's, like, number 10 is a butch called Utbi, and she talks about how, like, butch is a totally white word, and so she would rather use a completely different word that she's heard black dykes use, which is stem. And it's super cool that she, like, sat for me and is in the book, too. And then one of my favorites is about myself. and it's about how, like, I never used the word butch until I moved to Canada. And so I, like, have been, you know, putting it on, trying to walk around in it, but it doesn't work that well because Asian guys, if I'm, like, trying to come across as an Asian guy, they're kind of, you know, emasculated, seen as these big sissies or whatever, so you can't really be a tough guy unless you're a white guy or something, or sometimes that's sort of my theory, to pat myself on the back. But, so I guess I hope, like, lots of people get a chance to talk about why they're against the word butch in a way, but still want to be in the book.
That's sweet.
Oh, is this another one of those silent? Are those sad faces?
No, they're thoughtful faces.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious about, like, what different words people use for butchy type people in different places.
Yeah, there's lots of them, too. Yeah. I guess I've heard of tomboy and active and stud and AG. Yeah, it's nice because people volunteer a lot of them for me.
Like the aggressives.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, or you could be a soft AG.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, like, yeah, there's, like, obviously queers all over the place, and they just come up with their own words. Like, in Singapore, we would say active, but I don't know if they say that anymore, because, you know, in North America, we're so good at exporting our words.
Yeah.
So I think now people over there have adopted, like, North American queer jargon, but when I was growing up, they called me an active. Yeah.
That makes me want to go and ask my parents what butches were called when they were growing up.
Wow, would they talk about that?
Maybe. My mom would definitely. My dad would be a bit harder. He's from Uganda, so I don't... That'd probably be a little bit hard to talk about, considering how queers and trans folk are treated down there.
Sweet that your mother would talk about it.
Yeah, my mom's... She's a total badass.
Bad.
Yeah.
Well, you have to pump your dad for information. Spit it out.
Actually, I just came across a book about, like, queer history in India. Like, he's from Uganda, but his parents are Indian. So I've been trying to get my hands on it. Be interesting to look at.
Cool. Has that been enlightening?
So far, like, I've been looking through the whole entire, like, pre-colonial India era just now, and, like, also about the independence movement, stuff like that. So I'm slowly trying to put together, like, the history of where his family's from, so it's pretty interesting.
That is interesting. Some of my favorite stories actually come from a comic that was, like, forced out of me, kicking and screaming, but I did it for the money. But and it was by this, like, British lesbian magazine called Diva, and they were really, like, good to me. They gave me my first sort of debut, but they wanted to call this comic Queer Pioneers, if you could imagine.
Whoa.
So it was kind of like an oxymoron, but but it was all supposed to be about dead lesbians, and I learned a lot. It was cool.
I was looking at your queer love cards on Etsy, and they're pretty cute.
Yay!
I don't know if you want to talk about those at all, or your comic book and when it's coming out.
When what's coming out? Sorry?
The comic book.
Oh, the comic book, God, yeah. So the comic book's coming out this November on Magnus Books. And the cards are just because my ego got a little poked because I started this Etsy account to sell calendars. I was making calendars, and they were called the Illustrated Gentleman.
Yeah.
And like every month of the year. Oh yeah, you know. Yes. Woo. you can get like another hot queer telling you what it's like to buy clothes from the men's section. And so I got this major ego boost from AfterEllen.com because they were like, this is the best Christmas present any lesbian could ever get. And they were like, this rates higher than an Olivia Cruz. Whoa. Oh, have you guys heard of Olivia Cruz's?
No.
No.
Oh, well, there goes that story.
Can you tell us about it? What is it?
I think it's sort of like the mainstream LGBT thing. And it's like if you have the money, you can go on a cruise ship full of nothing but lesbians called Olivia. Anyway, so I'm famous by that standard. Never mind. let me see. What else would be impressive? Oh yeah, they rated it higher than Girls Like Us magazine, which is like, really, it means a lot to me because GLU is super hot. And,
sweet.
Come along, cuz we're come along friends. What are you doing? I mean, what are we doing later? Whoa. It's hard to explain how we ended up here on the Oberbaum hook with an East Berlin lesbian throwing bread at a girl duck, but we do ride our bikes in and out of cars like we'll never die. Hey, my cancer friend, well, the best things in life are free. We'll jump forever like a boy in a kippa and a bouncing cheese. Now we're eating figs and Turkish delight and taking aim at dead fish. Well, now we're in a photo booth drawing prayers on each other's lips. I wake up and I pull on clothes fast to get up to you on your balcony shouting, breath, good breath to blow me up to you. So up the street I'm riding it. Walk away from a feminist march, cause we believe in Schwule und alles, und Frauen und Männer, und liebe Radikals. We would rather have chicken in Gorlitz or Park. Yeah. We don't need anything. We are the kings of poverty.
Let's talk about the Feminist Art Gallery.
Oh, yeah. Good.
So your work, The Illustrated Gentleman, is the first to be exhibited there. And Fegs, yeah. A totally new art space in Allison Mitchell's home.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk a bit about the space and how that's going?
Yeah. So It's actually it's Allison Mitchell and her partner Deirdre Logue, who's kind of super important. There's like this Contact Festival award named after her because she makes super experimental videos. Da da da. But yeah, they have been so nice to me. Like, I don't know. I've had different queer employers for like drawing, and you guys probably know the Slim Pickings as well. Like, you just shut up and take it because at least you have a queer opportunity. But they've been so nice, like so nice. I can't praise them enough. But yeah, but there's a lot of things about them that are really cool. Like, for example, so they started this thing called FAG, and the way they coordinate it is through something called BRAG. Which is, they invited all of these, like, powerful feminists to come together, including, like, the coordinator of the Inside Out Festival, which is, like, the gay, lesbian, film festival, and, like, a lot of AGO staff and all these, like, important, whatever, feminist people, different CEOs and stuff, and they asked them to all, like, promote their favorite women artists or feminist artists, and that's how they picked me. Woo!
Sweet. And you're the first.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's through the BRAG. Oh, and they have a matronage. They refuse to take any money from men or any government or any, yeah, anything with strings attached. So they get donations from women or feminists. And they, yeah, and that's how they fund everything. And they paid me handsomely.
That's handsomely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all in their garage, so it's really cute. It's like a little secret.
How does it look like? Can you get the
so
inside
scoop? Beautiful. I was in there with some bougie lesbians. There's always bougie lesbians in there. If you need a sugar mama, you have to haul your ass down to FAG.
I can deal with that.
I bet you if I crack the joke about Olivia Cruz's, then I'll be slapping their knees. I'll be like, ah, I've been on too. Yeah, so I was down there with some bougie lesbians, and they were like, oh, this is, and they named all these woods that, I don't know, cedar and oak, and they were like, oh, you can just smell it, blah, blah, but it's super beautiful. It's really, really nice. It's like, it's just a garage, but it's just paneled up, and yeah, I don't know. The front half is Allison's work studio, and if you've seen her art, oh, my God, it's like this incredible hyper-feminism, but in the most, like, eye-catching, appealing way you could imagine. Like, she has these gigantic Sasquatch women in fur on the wall, and they have these, like, super inflated vulvas, and, oh,
the lesbian Sasquatches. I've heard a lot about them from Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, totally. And these big, fat, golden cats. And, yeah, it's so great. And then the rest of it is, well, me right now, and yeah, like I have 100 drawings up in frames there, and then I painted 7 butches onto the wall. They're like bigger than life size. Yeah, and then after me is going to be Allison Kobayashi, who's like super rad. She made this video called Alex to Alex, and it's like gender bending paradise, man.
Wow.
And, yeah. However, I don't know what you guys think about this, but I've been challenged a couple of times. In fact, on Ryerson Radio last weekend, they were like, what are you doing at the Feminist Art Gallery? Why isn't it a woman? And I think it's a good question. And, yeah, like, I was on the hot seat, and I was like, I don't know, but I think it's a good question. And, yeah, and I would really like to see more women and women of color artists in there, because yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm popular just because I'm handsome. Oh, my God. Can I say that?
You can say whatever you want.
Just because I'm a stud, it's just not right. No. But, like, I'd really like to help promote women and women of color artists. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like, also your work is, like about a lot of women, too. So I think like that
yeah,
also fits
totally.
Within that.
Yeah, yeah, which is what FAG says. They're like, we want feminist art, and that's what you do. And it's about promoting women and different expressions of womanity and all kinds of gender expression, which is a feminist thing to do. It smashes the patriarchy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I'm really proud to be there.
It'd also be, like, a process, too, that, like, I don't know. As, like, somebody who is a feminist and somebody who's, like, sometimes critical of, like cis males identifying as, like, feminists and stuff like that. But, like, I guess how you were raised and brought up, too, like, I think is really important to take an account of, like, in terms of feminist spaces. Like, I feel like I generally have no problem with, like, trans men wanting to come in those spaces and partaking just because of the ways that, like, society is, like, treated them, like, in their past and stuff like that, just as long as, you know, shit's checked at the door, you know?
I was actually having a conversation. The mixed race person, myself, I don't know if either of you are mixed race or mixed race, but in some places I get privilege, and some places I get sort of set, and I was just having a conversation about that with and how, like, some of my life do experience major racism, like, in the West. These people think I'm an American and, like, treat me like, you know, a princess. So, I don't know. I wouldn't be the best I kind of really appreciate that because there were people on all sides of that debate. And, yeah. And I liked how one of you put it. I don't know which one of you it was.
Shabina. Like, you're saying a story about people treating you like a princess, and now I don't know if it was finished.
Anyway, okay, so, I'm mixed race, and here I experience, I guess, racism. Like, I'm read as Chinese only. And then when I'm in Singapore, I'm read as, like, white and or American. And, so, like, I have experienced racism, but over there, like, I think that I still feel like because I experienced so much privilege when I'm there, that the best role that I could play in, say, for example, the way that Malays deal with racism there, like in a brutal way, or Filipinos, for example, is to support them, but not, to take, like, their opportunity is, say, in an art gallery or something. I mean, as you guys, I'm sure, completely understand. But, yeah, so I don't know if that helps answer or ask any new questions about, like, how to be a good feminist ally if you don't identify as a woman. But,
I think what you say is pretty interesting. Like, I'm also mixed race, so...
Right, like, who's that now?
Shabina.
Hello.
Okay. So,
you should come join my blog. 100% mixed.
100% mixed. Oh, that's amazing.
This is so touching.
I feel like, I've been trying to look up a lot more things written by people who are, like, queer and mixed race, too. Like, I've gotten my hands on a couple zines and stuff, so it'd be pretty exciting.
Oh, man, I want to hear about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a distro in Guelph, like me and another person, just on like racism and like experiences and narratives and like I don't know, just non like Western anarchist movements and stuff like that. And so we're always trying to get more like I find narratives really important to like distribute, just because like. A lot of people feel pretty isolated as, like, people of color, mixed-race people, indigenous people, like, especially if they're living, like, outside of where they grew up a lot of the time. Like, they don't have their family anymore or whatever. And it can be incredibly, like, supportive to be able to read some of those. So we oftentimes, like, hand them out at, like, events where, like, a lot of the people are mainly, like, lighter-colored skin or people who are more, like... who you would, like, label as, and I don't even know what this word means anymore, but Caucasian, and, like,
Yeah, doing this mixed race Tumblr has been awesome and touching. Like, people are constantly joining it, which makes me think that, there's so many of us that want to talk about it, but Yeah, so it would be great to post things about other resources that are out there. Like a distro. Distro! So cool! Not all my best drawings, but my sister! She's so hilarious! There's a picture of her face. And, oh, she was the deputy editor of Racialicious, the website that I really liked.
I was just looking at that, like, yesterday.
Racialicious?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super changing now. It's kind of, like, under new management. And I must say I was much more of a fan when my sister was around. yeah. So much nepotism. But she has a fantastic article that she wrote.